Good morning, Open Arms Christian Church. How are we doing this morning? I'm praying that this message finds everyone feeling better, getting better. Sound like a lot of people have been dealing with this. I guess you're going to call it COVID. There's been a lot of different things going around. Could be flu, don't know. But it seems like the one common denominator in the COVID is losing your taste and smell, I guess. So I guess if that's something that's happened to you, a pretty good chance that's probably what you had, even if you weren't tested. So just praying that everybody's feeling better and getting better and really looking forward to getting back together with everybody. I kind of miss church. I don't know about you guys. I miss Sundays and church and spending it with God's people and praising us corporately together and worshiping the Lord. And I just miss you guys. Just miss you guys. And I guess Matt Wiseman's a little under the weather this morning, so I got asked if I could do a message today. So been looking at some stuff and things going on, and I guess we'll talk about that. But I think first thing we need to do here is go to the Lord in prayer and just thank Him for everything He's doing for us, everything He's done, and what He's going to do. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we humbly come before Your throne this morning. We don't realize how awesome You are to us, Father. We don't understand that You love us so much that You actually sent Your Son to die on the cross for us. We can't grasp that. We look at it, we think about it, we can mull it over in our minds, but we don't really, Father, understand how awesome You are to us. We just want to thank You this morning, Father, that you love us enough to send Your Son to die on that cross. You love us enough to watch over us and be with us. And Father, we just want to pray this morning. Father, be with me. Father, forgive me my sins, for they're many. Father, just be with me just to bring the word and message that You want brought this morning. People would understand that You are God and just that You love them. Just we would understand that, Father, in a clearer and more precious way. Father, in Your precious name we pray. Amen. Cool. I always ask you, am I having a good week? It's all relative, isn't it? Sorry. It's all relative. Having a good week. I guess I've been having some interesting time. Last couple, 3 weeks have been really interesting. I got kind of feeling kind of rough there. I think just really achy and sore and kept going to work. And I did actually lose my taste for, I don't know, a week or so. Know what caused that, but it is what it is. Never had a fever or nothing like that. Just stuff, you know what I mean? And then we lost electricity for a couple of days there several weeks ago, and that was when I was actually sick, so I had to deal with generators and all of that went with. And then we lost the freezer a week later, the freezer down in the basement. I mean, it's only 50, 60 years old. Couldn't really figure out how old it was. I've had it for 30 years, and my mom and dad had it before that. They had a guy give it to them. So, I don't know. We were guessing it's probably 50, 60 years old. So, it finally died. You know, things like that happen. And it just seemed like one thing after another, after another, after another. You know what I mean? And you know how life is. It just keeps putting it on you. And I don't know, just a little bit of insight why I was looking at all this. Just, you know, you get into God's Word and you start studying and I don't know about you, but a lot of times when you come into things in your life, Book of Psalms is a pretty neat book to look at, isn't it? Because there's just so much stuff in there. It's just written by different people, and oh gosh, just a lot of things going on. I was looking at the Book of Psalms, and I think we're going to be, today, I think the message title, for good for everybody, is, Where Does My Help Come From? Where does our help come from? And we're going to be looking at Psalm 121. Going to be in the Psalms this morning, but just interestingly enough, I don't know, if you look at your Bibles, it's kind of interesting. When you look at the book of Psalms, in the very, very beginning, in chapter 1, the book of Psalms, chapter 1, go back there and look, and all of my Bibles, I was looking through them just to see if they all had it, and they all do. The book of Psalms is actually broken down into five different books. Right above Psalms number 1, it says Book 1. If you wasn't really paying attention, you wouldn't see that. But the Psalms is broken down into five separate books. It took quite a few years, really don't know how long, but it took quite a few years for all of these Psalms to get put together. There's many, many different kinds of Psalms, different things. David, gosh, writers of it were David, Asa, Korah, Moses has got one, Heman the Ezraite, Ethan the Ezraite, one or two to Solomon, and the rest of them I really don't know. But quite a few, 150 Psalms, but they're broken down into five books. And book one was put together with Psalms 1 through 41. Book two was Psalms 42 through 72. Book three was Psalms 73 through 89. Book four was Psalms 90 through 106. And book five is Psalms 107 to 150. And these books were put together. They think a lot of people believe that it's actually correlates with the Pentateuch. I don't know if you know the Pentateuch. Basically Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So Genesis would be tied with book one, Exodus with book two, Leviticus with book three, Numbers with book four, and Deuteronomy with book five. A lot of things going on. It's just kind of an interesting study if you want to look at it. It's kind of cool because it is broken down into five different books. And neatly enough, each of the books ends with a doxology or praise. And at different times, or actually different times in history, Psalms is actually, we know, is a psalm. It's a praise. Psalms actually it means a song, to sing. Okay? It's a Hebrew to sing. So basically the book of Psalms is a song book. It's like our hymn book. Kind of ties in like our hymn book. You know, and interestingly enough, when you do that, it's the book of Psalms is actually it's kind of like our, you know, our Christmas songs we do. You know, we have Noel and Christmas songs that you've done since you were a child. Maybe patriotic song, we know the Star Spangled Banner, that type of thing. We sing it. Well, that was the book of Psalms. It was committed to memory. And they sang it different occasions. Psalm 121, they believe, was sang when there's three times. Psalm 120 through Psalm, 120 through 127, actually is sang. There's three feasts that the Jewish, the Israelite men were required to go to Jerusalem for. And these three feasts are the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths. And when they were ascending, there was this big set of steps that went up into Jerusalem and up to the Temple Mount. And they think that when they were climbing these steps, they were singing these songs. This is like Psalm 121, kind of a cool song. But that's kind of a little bit of background of the book of Psalms. It's really cool. You see in your Bible, maybe it says the book of ascents. Well, the book of ascents means the book of It's singing. You know, when you go to that crescendo, and then that's the book of ascent. You're singing it. And they actually sang this by memory, which is kind of cool. So you can look at it. They say some people believe that the priest actually, there's 15 steps on one side of the temple. There's 15 steps. And they believe that the priest would stand on one step and sing a psalm and then step up to the next step and sing another psalm and then step up to the next, and that's what they believe. I don't know. I mean, look at the history. Some say that that's the way it was. I don't know. But it's kind of cool. It's basically a song book. It's a hymn book of the Old Testament for the Jewish people. I mean, there's a lot of history in it. There's some messianic psalms. There's a personal, historical, praise, alphabetic. You know, when you go to Psalm 119 and different ones, prayers for the righteous. There's just all kinds of different songs. So no matter what your mood is, I guess maybe that's one way of putting it, no matter what your life is like, no matter the situations you're dealing with, it seems like there's a song for that, you know what I mean? And I guess when you start thinking, where does your help come from? You know, we went through the election, the presidential election. I really don't know for sure. I mean, it's kind of funny. I don't know who won yet. You know, I don't know, maybe you do, but there's a lot of controversy there, and doesn't look like we're getting much help from the government, do we? Huh? And then we start thinking, you know, weather's starting to get cold, right? Maybe calling for some snow this week. I don't know. You know, some people get pretty miserable when it gets cloudy and gloomy. I understand that, you know. Sunny days are nice, but it just, I guess when you just start looking at your life, you think, man, where does my help come from? And while we're at the very beginning of Psalms, you guys, I know you had your Bibles out, was looking here at Psalms to see what your Bible said about book one and that. But if you look at Psalm number one, and while we're there, we're just going to read a little bit here, I think. First couple verses in Psalm chapter one. Emphasizes blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable. Wow. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Is a man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans, and purposes, nor stands in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down where the scornful gather. Blessed is a man who does not sit, stand, walk, rest with the ungodly. Wow, that's pretty cool of them. Blessed here is actually in the plural. Blessedness is a better description of it. Blessedness, which is in the plural, it's a double blessing. It's really a blessing upon a blessing. And may this blessing rest upon each and every one of us. We do not. This is negative. We've got negative in verse 1 and positive in verse 2. He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. His footsteps are ordered by the Lord and the Word of God. We don't walk with the ungodly. Now, we're around the ungodly all day long, right? I mean, if you're like me, I'm around people that are unsaved all day long. I'm actually around people, and you probably don't have this problem, but I'm actually around people that are professing Christians. And wow! I got a guy that I deal with, and he's always talking about Jesus and going to church and all this stuff, and man, the way he acts, I don't know, guys, you know what I'm saying? But we're around a lot of ungodly people. We have to be careful not to take counsel from them, right? Our counsel comes from the Lord. Verse 2 says, But his delight and desire in the law of the Lord and on his law, precepts, instructions, teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day, by night. How important is this to get your nose and your face in the Bible? It's actually critical to your life. When you love the law of the Lord, what is the law of the Lord? You read the Bible, that's the law of the Lord. You look at it, it's the law of the Lord. It gives you wisdom, understanding. It guides your footsteps. And it says, by day, by night, you meditate on it. You meditate on the Word. When you preach, when you have to get up here and stand in front of everybody, you have to meditate on the Word. You study, you look, you read, you do all this stuff, you do all these notes, you write all this stuff down, and then you never look at the paper because you've been looking and thinking and meditating on it, and it's like the Lord just brings out what He wants to be said, what He wants to be done, and that's cool. That's where it should be, right? So you have to meditate on it by day, by night. So, man, I go to bed at night, I don't know about you. I mean, I stay up a lot, but you know, some of you guys actually have to get like 10, 12, 14 hours of sleep a night, you know, which is cool. There's nothing wrong with that, you know what I mean? But some of us only need 2 to 4 to 6 hours of sleep, you know, and that's all you really need. So when you're wide awake in the middle of the night at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, what do you do? Do you get up and turn the TV on? What do you do at 3 o'clock in the morning when you can't sleep? That's an awesome time to meditate on the Word of the Lord. It's an awesome time to get your Bible out. Just start reading. One or two things will happen, and I found this to be true in my life. God is going to give you some insight. He's going to give you, I call them nuggets, little golden nuggets. God's going to give you something. When you open your Bible, when you start studying and looking at something, He's going to give you something. It's like, that is so cool! And you can share with others. Or you're going to go sleep. The Bible, it's interesting to me. You're either going to get so excited you can't go back to sleep because God gave you something, or you're going to be tired and go to sleep. Okay? And that's just from my own personal experience. But anyway, so you meditate on the Word, on God's Word, day and night. So if you're not sleepy and you want to go to sleep, maybe get the Bible out and start reading it. It might put you out like a light. Huh? But then again, God might decide to give you something precious. I really believe He wakes you up in the middle of the night like that to give you something precious. Because you're, you know, the worries of the day are gone and sleeping. You wake up, I think the Lord can give, can communicate with you a little easier. There's not as much junk between you and Him, maybe. I don't know. Just personal thought. Okay, in verse 3. He shall be like a tree, firmly planted and tended by the streams of water. Now, catch this. He says, the man that's footsteps are guided by the Lord, meditates on the word of the Lord, he is planted. This doesn't say he come up voluntarily. You get weeds, you got some volunteer weeds come up, don't they? They come up wherever they want to, right? Huh? They come up everywhere. When you actually plant something, crop, or, you know, this is talking about a tree. You know, you look out in your yard and say, you know, I'll plant a tree right over there, because, I mean, you know, in 10, 15 years, I'll be in a real nice shade tree plant there. It's something you decide to do, and it's a place you decide to put it. God has planted you exactly where you are. Interesting? You didn't come up wild where you're at. God planted you in the position, situation, where you are. He planted you. So, He says He planted, and he by streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in season, its leaf also shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper. Has everything he ever done prospered? Nah, not me. I'm sorry. There's been a lot of things I did that didn't prosper at all. And I wonder sometimes if that's just not the Lord's way of saying, this is not the direction I want you to go. You know what I mean? I really believe that. I think the Lord opens doors and closes doors. And He loves you enough. He's not going to let you where you are. He wants you to grow. He wants you to mature. He wants you to become more deeply, deeply in love with Him. He wants you to become more knowledgeable about Him. He wants you to become more intellectual about His Word so you can apply that to your life. Get that in your mind, apply it to your life, and it comes through your heart. What's the Bible says? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I think we almost have to change that now. This might be an update to the Bible, but, you know, from the abundance of the heart, the thumbs tweet, huh? You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Because it seems like everybody, you see these people on the phone, they're tweeting, they're whatever they're doing, texting, whatever they're doing. So, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I think the updated version would be out of the abundance of the heart, the thumbs tweet. So, we have to be careful. We have to be careful what we put in our heart. Which basically means things are putting into your seeing, your hearing, your listening to. All this stuff that's coming into your mind, it gets stuck in there. It gets stuck in there. Visual, you know. I think you see pictures of things sometimes that's very, very graphic, very, bad. You know what I'm saying? And that picture will stick with you for a long time. And I just wonder, we have to be careful what we allow into our mind. Movies we watch, books we read, TV shows you watch, you know what I'm saying? Not too much out there that's really... I'm old, so there's not too much out there that really excites me about watching TV. Anyway, these first three verses, it's kind of an interesting couple of three verses here. And on our way back to Psalm 121, let me stop at Psalm 91 real quick. Just real quick, just want to catch a couple verses here. Psalm 91. There's a lot of things in Psalm 91. You know, we're talking about living today. Oh, gosh. Psalm 91, when you read this, a thousand may fall at your right side, verse 7. Verse 6, nor of the... verse 5. You ain't going to be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that plots evil by day. Nor by the pestilence is what stalks in darkness. Got pestilence going on. I like COVID-19, doesn't it? Nor the destruction and sudden death and surprise or lay waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 by your right side, but shall not come near you. When you read this psalm, you think, man, I'm impervious to stuff. Then you get sick. And then you get COVID-19. And then you got stuff goes wrong. And you have all this stuff in your life happening. You're thinking, what's up in Psalm 91? But Psalm 91 is contingent 100% totally upon the first two verses of Psalm 91. I want to read them to you here. Psalm 91, verse 1 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand." That's Amplified. You are fixed. You dwell. What's this talking about? When you dwell in a secret place of the Most High. When you dwell with the Lord and you meditate on His Word, you're dwelling with Him. This is where you're at. This is what it's talking about. Verse 2 says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. On Him I lean and rely, and in Him I confidently trust." Do you confidently trust in the Lord? Heard an interview this week. It's on the radio. There was a woman and her husband went to an Arab country. I didn't catch where it was at, and I'm sorry for that. But they actually got to meet with some pretty high up officials in government. And this is where they were at. They were talking about driver's license. And your driver's license in this country, you have an M on it or C. The M is for Muslim, okay? But if your driver's license has a C on it, that's because you have been professed as a Christian. You are a professing Christian. Now, what that means is, the reason these people were talking to this guy was what, I'm going to ask him what he was going to do about this. What that means is, as a Muslim with an M on your driver's license, you have privileges, okay? When you have a C on your driver's license that says you're a Christian, you had no privileges. People can kill you. What? Did you say that right, Matt? Yeah. People can kill you. If someone is renting you a house, they can kick you out of the house with no other reason than you are an infidel. You're a Christian. You may get fired from your job because you're a Christian. I mean, you could lose everything you have because you have a C on your driver's license. Ooh, sounds kind of major, don't it? Huh? And these people asked this government official, you know, what are you doing to change this? I mean, what are you doing to help make this better for Christians? And they said this official leaned back in his chair and looked at him and said, "Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you?" And they said, "Well, yes, of course we do." He said, "Have you ever thought about having to die for Him?" Wow. The person doing the interview said they were taken aback when they started to think about this. It was like, wow. Basically, what that authority, that official was saying, we're not going to do nothing. You know, if you believe God's going to take care of you, then He's going to take care of you. You won't let us do what we're going to do to you. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, I don't know. It really hit me. That statement hit me. Are you willing to die for Him? Wow. Kind of brings perspective. Sometimes I think to us when we're thinking about this. And this last week I was working, I was up on a landfill up in Cleveland, and this landfill is really tall. So you're up on top of it, and you can see for, I don't know how many miles you can see. We were up on top of this landfill. It was pretty clear that day. And looking to the north, northeast from where I was at, we figure it's probably 50, 60 miles away. The nuclear power plant, Perry, it puts off a big plume of smoke. It's not smoke, it's steam, they say, but it's actually, what it is this coal-fired different things, nuclear reactor. So it's steam, and, you know, they put white with it to make it really look clean. Anyway, 50, 60 miles away, we could see that plume. That's a long ways, isn't it? And I was just looking at things, and this Psalm 121, let's go to Psalm 121, came up, just came around, like, it made me think of it, because up on this tall, high hill, it wasn't a mountain, it's almost like, it's higher than the highest point in Cleveland. There's a highest point, I got a sign sitting there when I drive by, like 1,200 and some feet. It's the highest elevation in Cleveland. But we were real close to that, so we're pretty high up. You know, I don't want a mountain or anything, but you're pretty high up, and you can see for miles and miles around. And Psalm 121, verse 1 says, "I will lift my eyes up to the hills. Whence shall my help come?" It's almost like, you know, you're down, you need help, okay? Obviously, this person needs help of some kind, and they're fixing their eyes up on the mountain. You know, you ever been seen big mountains? They're pretty tall. You know, you kind of look at mountains. We don't have any mountains here in Ohio, really, per se, but you go out west and you see the mountains, it's like, that's some big mountains. Them things are high. And this person, Psalm 121, I believe it was David, wrote this psalm, says, I will lift my eyes to the hills. From whence? Where does my help come from? Verse 2 answers that question. Where does my help come from? I'm in the middle of it here, man. I need some help. Where's my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and earth. And it's almost like the psalmist is looking at these big, tall mountains, these big rocks, these huge rocks, huge. And he's saying, you know, my God spoke them into existence. My God created them, the word of his mouth. My God sustains them, holds them, so they stay where they're at. My God, the Lord, the God that I serve, made all that. The mountains don't mean anything to him, they're just mountains. But he created them. So, if I can believe that my God created them mountains, where's my help come from? Who am I going to rely on? Huh? Who's going to be the one I rely on? And God's the creator of the hills, mountains, all that we see? He has the power to establish the earth, keep it secure, and he has the power to establish. He has the power to establish Israel in the Holy Land in spite of its enemies. Israel has been attacked since the beginning of their conception. God's people, they have had so many things, and they're still there. And they still occupy that little teeny piece of ground that everybody seemed like in the world wants to own. It's just a bunch of pile of rocks. Huh? Wow. Says, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Verse 3. He will not allow your foot to slip or to be moved. He who keeps you, he will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. When you think about this, these people in sandals, I mean, they didn't have no fancy Skechers shoes like we got now, and fancy running shoes and work boots and cleated shoes, you know, all this stuff. They had sandals, probably, most of these people, and they're climbing. It's a, I don't know, 2,500 foot ascent, I think they figure. You know, you're coming up through the Kidron Valley, up through there, and coming up to Jerusalem. I mean, it's pretty good climb. It's rocky. I mean, they didn't have roads like we have today, you know, paved and smooth and nice and fancy and all that stuff. So they're walking, climbing over these rocks, and he says, he won't let your foot slip. That sounds kind of important, doesn't it? I'm coming up in there, I'm thinking, I'm singing that song, he won't let my foot slip. I don't know how they sing. I would love to hear these songs sang the way they were sang then. And nobody seems to really know. I've never heard anybody say, you know, this is the music, this is how they did it, you know. I don't know. Anyway, it'd be kind of cool, I think. Verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade in on your right hand. Decide not carrying shield. See? The Lord is your keeper. He is the one who keeps you. You know, when you look at the world, there's a lot of bad things happening to people out there. There's a lot of bad things happening to good people in the world. And you think, and then you have people ask you, well, why, if God's so good, why does he let that happen? I was talking to a very wise woman this week. She said when she was younger, the first thing she thought when she got to heaven, she was going to ask God, why? Now the older she gets, she thinks, I don't really think that's going to matter. I think we're going to be so incredibly enthralled with being in the presence of the Almighty God that all this other stuff ain't going to matter. Ain't going to matter. Verse 6, the sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. We've all been out in the sun during the day. It gets pretty hot, doesn't it? Sometimes some of us guys that work outside, and ladies outside all day, that sun kind of beats on you pretty good. It's kind of warm, isn't it? It's kind of warm. He says the Lord will protect you from your sun. He's going to protect you from the moon. Anybody ever been in the moon, been burnt by the moon? I never did. You know, I thought, well, that's kind of a weird statement. And I got to looking at it, and the word actually for moonstruck, moon, same for the moon, moonstruck, I guess, is epilepsy. Seemed like it occurred worse when the moon was full. That's why it was kind of turned to the moon. You know, the moon was responsible for it. Almost seemed like it was a demonic attack. That's kind of what that means. So God's going to protect you from the sun, going to protect you from being moonstruck. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Well, man, how come people die? Yeah, we do. I guess there's not too many of us that I know of. There's several people in the Bible. There's not too many people in the Bible that got out of this world alive, did they? Elijah? There ain't too many people. Everybody that I see getting out of this world's got to die, don't they? But we have a hope of salvation, don't we? Yeah. One way or the other, this that makes you who you are, your spirit, your soul, that part of you that will never die, that will live forever, is going to spend eternity somewhere. You know, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we spend eternity with Him. That's going to be awesome. Huh? All this stuff that we've suffered in this life, the pain, the struggles, the heartaches, the junk, I don't even know if we're going to remember it. You know what I'm saying? I think it's going to be just such an awesome time in heaven. We can't grasp that either. Can't grasp that either. He's going to keep your life. Your life is in His hand. And when your life on this earth is done, you're going to go home to be with Him. Huh? That's pretty awesome, isn't it? That's pretty exciting stuff in my mind. Woo! We want to hold on to this old life, the cold weather and rainy and damp and snow and nasty and broke down cars and no electric and refrigerators and stuff happening, feeling sick and pains and hurts and junk. You want to stay here? Woo! We got to be crazy to want to stay here. We got such a better home waiting us, guys. A better home. Verse 8. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. We serve a God who is capable of taking care of you. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He doesn't stumble. He doesn't drop the ball. He doesn't mess up. He doesn't have change His mind on things that may be something, you know. Huh? Our God loves you so much. He wants only the best for you. Sometimes that best has to come through pain. Sometimes that best has to come through heartache. Sometimes that best has to come through just struggle. Huh? Struggle. You know what? God still loves you. You won't slumber and sleep. Your salvation is firmly planted in Him. You can never lose it. You believe in Him and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. The hope that we have of our salvation. Spend eternity with Him in heaven. Wow. Where's your help come from? My help comes from the Lord. He's the only help I have. Go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that this message finds ears and hearts and hearing, Father. They can understand that you are God. And Father, you love them. You want the best for them. Father, you are their help. You're their sustainer. You're the one that loves them and never lets them down. Oh, Father. Just impress that. Father, just allow us to be thankful for the many blessings you've given us. Let us see the blessings that we have, even though we might not think they are. You sit and ponder and think of the things that we have, Father, that are awesome blessings you've given us. We just thank you and praise you, Father. We just thank you, Father, for each and every one here. We thank you for the health of each and every one here, Father. We just praise you, Father, that you will allow us to come together as a church to praise and magnify you. Father, we just praise you. We thank you. Father, just be with us. Father, just show us your love. In your precious name we pray. You guys have a great week. The Lord bless you. We love you. We'll talk to you later.
Praise the Lord.